There are some perceptions about outsourced labor that I think are false. If you had a firm in London,
right,
England, not, and you had on the law firm had on their website, we've got offices in New York, LA, London. Nobody would have an issue with somebody in London answering the telephone, would they?
Right. No.
Right. And so you got to drop some of those self-limiting beliefs that you have about, you know, where your labor might be.
Hey, law firm owners, welcome to the Your Practice Mastered podcast. We're your hosts. I'm MPS.
And I'm Richard James. And Michael, we have a great, live, different show today where we're going to talk about profit with some of our members who are killing it. And we're going to try to get the insights from them on what they do to develop their profitability. And hopefully that they're going to give a nugget that they can walk away with and take action. Also, I hope that they're going to inspire.
That's the goal, and we're in for an exciting episode today. We're joined by Sam and Todd, and so we'd like to welcome you guys into the Your Practice Master podcast.
Thank you.
Of course. So for anyone that has watched the podcast, one of the things we do around here is break the ice a little bit. So why don't you start by sharing something that maybe not everyone knows about you, and either you guys can do this individually, one of you can do it.
Oh, yeah. So if I could trade the dollars, if I could be in the same situation dollar-wise, I would much rather do landscape architecture and dig in the ground than do what I'm doing.
Really?
Shocker, right?
By the way, you could trade the dollars.
Well, and so somebody on the stage, I have done his landscape design and installation.
Oh, and did he give you a, I don't think that you're right for this business, kind of.
No, I think I got a resound. I think he appreciated it. But yeah, that's something that you probably don't know about me. I'd rather be digging in the dirt.
That's great. I love that. Yeah. I actually love that. Talk about instant gratification.
Well, see, that's part of the issue. Like, the bush is in the wrong spot. Pick it up and replant it. Your PCLC numbers are off. You got to tweak all these different stages, but I can fix it immediately outside.
Yeah, I agree. You know what? There was a day when years ago when I was in the funeral business, I took 26 weeks off, okay? So my partner and I, we would work 2 weeks and then we would take 2 weeks off. Work 2 weeks and take 2 weeks off. And so Maria and I had traveled and done all this stuff, and then finally we were like sick of it, and I'm like, what can I do? And I decided to build a deck on the back of my house with my grandfather. And not only was it splendid time with my grandfather, but it was immediate gratification. And I got to buy all sorts of cool power tools
yeah.
that I never would have had before, right?
Yep.
How about you, Todd?
So my first business, I started in the restaurant business at the age of 25. I convinced a bank to loan me $1.4 million with no experience after about seven presentations at a bank. And I opened a full-service standalone restaurant, 25, no experience.
Did you really?
I did.
Was it a success or a failure?
Yeah, it was. I owned it for about 14 months and sold it.
Nice.
And realized it was like having, well, I had 110 employees between the ages of 18 and 25. And that's why I sold it 14 months later.
It's also why it doesn't handle HR at our company.
That's perfect. Oh, that's great. Okay, Michael, where you want to go from here?
Yeah. So I've got my questions written down today because I want to make sure we're able to set the stage for everyone. So many of the people sitting in this room know who you guys are, right? But why don't you tell us a little bit about, just quickly, what practice areas are you guys in?
Yeah, so we currently handle bankruptcy cases, social security disability, immigration, and personal injury.
Got it.
Perfect.
Yeah. Another thing about that I want to share that people may not know about us, we are probably in the smallest city of anybody in the room. The town that we live in, 40,000 people, and we're now the biggest bankruptcy firm in the state. Hmm. So when I hear people say, well, that wouldn't work in my market because I'm in a small market, and that's a fallacy.
Okay, so 11x growth over the period of 8 or 9 years. We could run the math on that, but it's not necessary. I think everybody gets the picture that that's pretty aggressive.
Yep.
Yet, and you were 45% profitability this year, yet, and I think you would tell me that there were years where you were maybe even a little higher than that.
Yes.
And so how do they maintain profitability along that growth pattern?
Yep.
Yeah. So I'm a CPA by training, and we've always been fanatical about our numbers. The day on the stage that you said, you can wake me up in the middle of the night and ask me this question, and I can tell you exactly what those numbers are, that we have lived by that. Mm-hmm. And you can ask us what our numbers are anytime, and we can probably tell you. Hmm. And I think we could have grown faster than we've grown, but
it would have been at the expense of our profit.
It would have been, there was a certain margin that we were not willing to go under.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've had times where we've asked people to row harder.
So unpack that a little bit. What does that mean?
Well, so I've got some action items. Like, how can you?
Yeah.
How can
what's
you keep,
the prep?
You
know,
what can people grab onto?
Yeah.
So number one, squeeze all the juice you can out of what you got. So take a really close look at your PCLC numbers. And I know it sounds like so basic, but whenever we see issues, one of the phrases that we use at our office is go back to the basics. So if you look at your PCLC numbers, there are some tiny things you can change that will really result in significant money at the very bottom. Neck.
By the way, if I can stop there,
Yeah. Do
you think in your conversations with people around here or in other industry meetings that you have that people take that PCLC data for granted?
Yes, and I have.
Yeah.
You know, the easy answer is, well, I just need more leads. Mm-hmm. The everybody always says, well, I just need more leads.
I'd bet you $100 that there's not one group in here that has that problem. I think they might think they have that problem, but I think, like you've taught us, I think they've got leads. Enough leads.
You know, a 5% tweak on your show, a 5% tweak on your hire rate, and you look up, and I mean, that's $10,000 or $15,000 a month. Mm-hmm. That's just capturing more with what you already have.
Mm-hmm. Another action item I have, hold on flashy objects. Okay? So hold on flashy objects. If there's some new piece of technology that you think is so flashy and so awesome, if you don't have the cash flow for it, hold on it. We started with 3x5 note cards. That's what we started with. Mm. Our phone rep had a stack of note cards, and each evening when she left, she would take the note card and put it on the seat of my chair. And the next morning when I came in, I would pick it up out of the seat and look at the numbers.
Then we got really advanced, and we went to Excel.
Yeah.
Right? And look, now we're...
How many cases were you filing when you were using note cards a month?
25, 30?
Yeah, probably 25.
25 or 30 cases a month you were using note cards?
Yeah,
yes.
Sure.
And then you went to Excel?
Yeah.
And how many cases were you filing in Excel before you decided to go to the next?
You know, it wasn't long.
It wasn't long.
But when we went to software, and Sam loves tech.
Software, yeah.
He loves software.
It's the builder in you.
Maybe it's the landscaper.
Yeah, the landscape
Maybe it's
architect
the landscaper,
in you. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, but the other thing I had as an action item is everything we've always done, we've talked in terms of a process. You use the word system, I use process,
mm-hmm.
but everything we've structured in terms of a process. Is this replicatable? Mm. Is it repeatable? Is it understandable? Is it teachable? Right? And we've kind of gone down that pendulum. For everything we do in our office has to be a process.
I got another one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Watch your compensation. I have screwed up so many compensation plans since 2015. I've messed up comp. I have messed up incentives. You need to have smart compensation. If anybody wants examples of how to compensate specific seats, find us afterwards and ask us, and we'll tell you exactly how we do it. But I've made many mistakes with that.
So, for example, if you're paying people per hire, well, you look up and they don't do a very good job. They got a 40% hire rate and they want to know what their bonus is at the end of the month. Mm. And we've taken the position, well, your base salary has to cover a certain level of proficiency.
Correct. Mm.
And a bonus is for doing something above the base level of proficiency.
I couldn't agree with that more.
Here's another one.
Go ahead.
You want another one? Okay.
I've really thought
about this, Michael. I did good, right?
Yeah, you did.
The next thing is, if you can't afford it based on cash flow, okay, so we saw the example of the backpack on that video that was played yesterday. If you can't afford it based on cash flow, do it yourself. We have both been up late at night entering bankruptcy petitions and schedules.
We tell everybody at our office, if this whole place burns down, we know how to answer the phone, take out the trash, and file a bankruptcy case. Mm-hmm. And everything in between. So if you don't have the cash flow, you're going to have to do it yourself.
So you recognize that despite not having the cash flow to maybe hire outside of the firm or even bring someone in to do that, it was important enough to still get done.
Absolutely. And then...
So wait, I got to stop. So how do you prevent falling into the trap of doing it yourself and not allowing others to do it because you have the knowledge to do it all?
That's a tough one because we found ourselves sometimes doing it ourselves 5 years ago.
I still do it.
Yeah, we could have.
It's a constant. You know, I've got a really high-level employee, absolute rock star, unicorn, and that person is a bottleneck because they're a perfectionist. And finally, I keep asking her, is this your highest and best use?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Are you doing things that other people could do, or are you doing things only you can do?
Mm-hmm.
The highest and best use.
Did you ask yourself that question?
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's probably how to answer that question. Look and see, is this my highest and best use? Do I have the cash flow to support it? Let's have somebody else do it.
Okay. It sounds like you waited till there was enough pain before you added another body.
How we typically
do it.
Is
that how you did it?
Yeah. You know, the axiom, nobody ever changes unless the pain of staying the same is worse than the pain of changing.
Right. Okay. Right. So give everybody a scope real quick. How many hours? Because you're doing really well, obviously, and now, you know, they think you still have this hands in the mud kind of approach to it. Uh-huh. But how many hours are you working now a week?
How many hours do you work? Let's get this on the record.
He wanted me to go first, right? If I was to be really candid, I probably work 30 hours a week.
Okay.
I'm probably the same. If I get knee deep in a project, I'll extend it a little bit.
He's a little more than I am because we're doing a major tech project right now. Yeah. And he's leading.
But you will
that.
Also still bill hours.
Yeah.
And you'll work on projects like tech.
Yeah. So like he almost tried a case recently, and so he's got some pain there, and I've got my own pain. So,
yeah.
You know, misery loves company.
I think we should come back to the conversation about salaries real quick. How did you decide? You decided ultimately to come to start to hire people.
Yeah, so...
Why did you make that decision?
Well,
how has that affected?
It's pretty simple. We were, during the COVID environment, we were struggling getting phone reps and getting people, and I thought we weren't paying enough.
Mm.
So we raised our base salary, and then I realized some really poor employees were getting paid $6,000 a year more.
Mm.
And then we got a bad apple in the room, poisoned a room, and we lost our entire phone team in about 4 days, all of them.
Mm.
So we had to hire an outside service to fill that gap, and we just said, we will not be beholden to people. We are going to fix this. So Sam flew down here. During COVID, sat up at a hotel, started interviewing, and off we went.
Now, that fed your builder mentality. That fed your go-get-it-done mentality, and it gave you some pride. But would you recommend somebody else do that from scratch the way you had to do it?
I think I have a couple ulcers from it, so I probably wouldn't recommend it.
Yeah.
It takes intestinal fortitude.
If I thought... I was going to have 5 to 10 people, 12 people, 15. I would absolutely use a service to handle the
admin. You guys, how many people down here?
35.
Right.
35. Okay. But we knew that we thought we could get to we were going to be big enough that we could handle the admin. And we also made a commitment to being here.
Hmm.
So
how often are you here?
Almost every 4 weeks.
One of us comes every 4 or 6 weeks because people have this impression about outsourced labor that it's set it and forget it.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons I think our people are happy is they told us that you're the first U.S. company that we've ever worked for that comes to see us and asks us about our family and asks us about our kids and things. And so
one of the reasons why you have to come as often as you do is because you've built your own support system and it's you guys. You don't have an agency to help you with that.
And it comes at a significant cost.
Look,
I've got young kids. I have a wife. I mean, when I'm, gone all the time, you're missing ball games and things like that. So it's come at a pretty significant expense.
Yeah. Okay. Where do you want to go from here? Or did you have any other points you wanted to add?
Yes. Run decisions based on percentages. So any decisions that you make, like, can I afford to hire somebody else? Do I need to have somebody else? We keep our payroll percentage below 48,
yeah,
47.
Yeah, so I looked. We ran too lean, and you told me this for a long time. Mm-hmm. And I was going to have to buy our freedom a little bit and give up some. And so, like, our payroll last year was about 38%.
Right.
Too lean. That's too lean.
That's lean. I mean, that's lean.
Yeah.
But we were able, if that was all U.S.-based labor.
If that was U.S.-based labor, you'd be over 55%.
Nah, we wouldn't.
There's no question. We wouldn't be sitting here.
We wouldn't be sitting here.
So for the firm that's debating the decision right now of they're looking for an appointment setter or they're looking for a staff member and they're not entirely bought in on the idea of outsourced labor, whether it's in or abroad, what would you tell them?
Some of that is probably that person's limiting beliefs, right, about outsourced labor. I've talked to some of the folks in the room. You know, there are some perceptions about outsourced labor that I think are false. If you had a firm in London,
right,
England, not, and you had on the law firm had on their website, we've got offices in New York, LA, London. Nobody would have an issue with somebody in London answering the telephone, would they?
Right.
No.
Right. And so you got to drop some of those self-limiting beliefs that you have about, you know, where your labor might be.
You know, I've been blown away by the quality of the worker here. You know, I think America's wrong, right? We're going to fall because of our own arrogance one day. But we have this impression that we have a monopoly on intelligence in America, and that is completely false. They are very smart, very competent, very eager to work, and very eager to please.
Yeah, I mean, you're in...
Sure.
So did you have an initial, ooh, I don't know if this is going to work in...
Yes.
This would be even easier for us if we were in a major metropolitan area that was really a diverse area. This would be even easier for us.
Right.
But when our own clients are calling Comcast... And the phones are answered right down the street in one of those towers that you can see from this hotel. I'm like, come on. Okay, hold on. Yeah, we can do this.
That's a really good point.
That is a very good point.
Yeah, so they've got people, they're doing business with other businesses that are already doing business here. And so you think, well, I'm in the deep south or I'm in the northwest or whatever, and the accent's going to get in the way or they're not going to. And the reality is they're already doing business with people who have offices down here and they're used to it. They may not like it as much as they would prefer somebody in their own backyard answering the phone, but it's happening.
The other issue is, you know, one of the big things at our firm for me is to treat people with respect. No matter who you are, where you are, you're going to get treated with respect. Mm. And if we have clients who can't appreciate an accent, maybe we're not a right fit for that client.
We cut them loose. Cut them loose.
I like that. What's got you guys fired up and excited today? Could be business, could be personal.
Oh, I've got something.
Let's hear it.
You all are going to think this is so simple. I'm sorry. I'm just now getting it. Okay. So the PCLC numbers, I decided I was tired of it being the only one jumping up and down, flipping tables when the PCLC numbers were off. So I went to the ops person. I went to our integrator and said, I'm tired of being the guy that's hair on fire. I'm tired of doing it. So I tell the operations person, I said, okay, so these are our benchmarks for the set, show, and hire percentages. Okay. If we deviate from these benchmarks, something needs to happen. And she looked at me and said, yeah, we just need to have steps that people follow. I'm like, oh, okay,
so
dummy.
If this mark turns red,
here's what happens. If our set rate drops below benchmark.
Go listen to X number of phone calls.
Yeah, so it's step by step, but I have it even better. It's like a military operation. No, Bert would really appreciate this. So it is, if set rate drops below X, go to intake team lead. Intake team lead then does steps. One, listen to three no sets. Step two, get with the people with the low set rate. Step three, email line manager. We deviated from our set rate. We initiated protocol. Protocol complete.
Wow.
How about that? Mm.
So, though,
that's a give a love moment right there. One, two, three.
Oh, but I want to say about that, that happened in the last 2 days. Okay?
Yes. Yesterday.
No. But I mean that... We've been in this world for 8 years, but that is our insistence about going back to the basics.
Mm-hmm.
going back to.
So you didn't cover Michael's question of what are you excited about?
No, he's.
I'm excited about that.
That's what you're excited about.
Absolutely. So I think we've gone into a couple other districts. We'll probably open a couple other offices in the next year. Mm-hmm. I think we've got 50% upside. Mm-hmm. I think.
That's pretty exciting. Yeah.
You know, I kind of got a little distracted this year, and then you talked about embracing the suck, and it's hard, and I mean, it's still hard.
It never changes.
No, it never
changes. And as you get older, and to some things like exercise, the suck gets worse. Right?
Always comes back to exercise.
We talked a lot about profit. We talked a lot about how we've been blessed. Yeah. And I want to make sure everybody understands a couple of things. Number one, to my knowledge, we're the only bankruptcy law firm in that has a deal with legal aid that says certain protocols, if they meet them, send them to us and we'll handle their bankruptcy case pro bono.
Right.
The second thing is we always have a pro bono immigration case going. Always.
Always.
The third thing I want to tell people, I don't know how to make this an action item. The more that we give back, it just keeps coming back to us.
Yeah.
It's like, take the money, you know, take this. This is pro bono. Here's the donation to the church, to the schools. And it just keeps coming back in waves. So I don't know what to do with that, but I'll keep doing it.
Well,
givers get.
Givers get. Let's put it under that general premise that givers get.
Absolutely. Well, hey, law firm owners, thank you for taking the time to tune into the Your Practice Master podcast today. Sam and Todd, I appreciate both of you for sharing your insights and your stories. And for the law firm owner listening, and this isn't your first time listening, if you got some value from today, you like the new format, make sure to go ahead and hit that subscribe or follow button, depending on where you're listening or watching. Hit the like button and show some love for Sam and Todd down in the comments. Let us know if you have any questions and let us know if you like the new format of things today.
Hey, Sam and Todd, thank you so much.
Thank you.
How about a little bit of love? One, two, three. All right.
Awesome.